Hello, hello! Welcome back to the Feel Good Factor. I'm Susmita Veganosaurus. I'm so glad you could join me here today. Hi everyone! So today I have someone really, really dear to me as a guest on the podcast. Her name is Shaswati Siva, and oh my god, she is this huge positive ball of energy. Shadu, as those who really love her, those who are close to her call her, has been through a lot of difficult stuff in life, but she has come out of the other end, not only turning her own life around, but also helping so many people around her to feel better and bounce back up. Shadu runs a vegan cheese business called Kavati. But today, we're not going to talk about Kavati. We're going to talk about Shadu's life and the beautiful ray of sunshine that she is in other people's life. Hey, Shadu!
Hi, Sus! Thank you so much for having me here on your show. I am so thrilled and honored to be a part of it. And it is so nice what you're doing. You're helping so many people. And, you know, you introduced me as the most positive person. But I really think that's actually you.
Aww. Well, positivity attracts positivity. And I'm so glad we have each other in each other's lives.
I totally agree.
Okay, so Shadu, let's dive right into it. Today, we're here to talk about your divorce and all the things you've done to turn your life around after that and how you're making a positive impact on others because of it. So can you give us a little bit of a background?
Yeah, sure. I went through a divorce, I think, last year in 2018. And I think it's one of the most difficult things I've done in my life. It was so challenging. It was such a turmoil. Mental health affected, physical health affected. But I think to a large extent, I like to convert all negative things into at least something positive. So, you know, I think the best thing that came out of it was the fact that I felt so free, and it was like absolutely wonderful to taste that freedom. And while it was all great for me, I think there was a lot of learning that happened for me in that 1 year. Like every time I went to court, I would constantly think about like the number of people who probably do not have the support system that I do, the kind of help that they get, and, you know, who sits with them and, you know, who tells them that, okay, everything's going to be okay.
Wait. You were sitting in court going through your difficult divorce and you were looking at people around you and thinking about who's helping them.
Yeah.
That is just so typically you, Shadu.
Always felt like, you know, everybody deserves the support system because no divorce is easy. Sometimes it might feel like the process is smooth or okay, I'm going to be done. It's still going to take a toll on you, and you need a sense of like community, sense of family, friends, and all of those things together.
Mm.
I think because of that, I always wanted to start a support group. I always wanted to do something that makes everybody feel like we are not alone in this journey.
Mm. So you started, that's how you started your divorce support group. And what has the response been so far for the group?
I think the response has been really, really great. So I think one of the most important things I did for myself was that I did not start the support group immediately after my divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I took a good few months before I was ready for it, mainly because I wanted to be ready before I could help people. Because if I don't feel like I could, then there's nothing I could do for somebody else, right?
Yes.
So
True. You need to heal at least to a large extent. And you can't keep having those memories keep coming back while you're trying to also be there for others.
Yeah.
So I totally get it.
Before I started the support group, I started a conversation online about divorce. And, you know, I started talking about it from an emotional point of view, from a court perspective, from a technical point of view. You know, how do you take up a new lawyer and things like that.
Mm.
By the time I announced my support group, I think people kind of knew the direction I was taking. And it was easier to connect with the people because there was already a sense of relatability that I had created online. Because I had a lot of people writing into me, you know, trusting me enough to like share their stories. And I first started helping people on the phone. Like I would take some calls. I make it very clear that I'm not a trained professional, that I'm not here to solve their problems, but I'm just here as a friend to just lend a shoulder for them on days and nights that get incredibly difficult. And it goes a long way in them also realizing that, okay, this person might be a stranger to me, but there is a weird comfort in knowing that she and I actually had some kind of similar stories and similar struggles.
That makes sense. So generally, who has looked for your support more? Has it been men or women?
Definitely women. I have had men get in touch with me as well, but it's mm-hmm. definitely more the women. And I think that comes from a very, very patriarchal part of our society where the stigma and a lot of it ends up being much, much more on the women than it is on the men.
Mm-hmm.
Women don't just worry about like the fact that there is an ongoing divorce case. They also have to worry so much about the future. If they have kids, yeah. then custody, and then how do you co-parent or live with so many memories? Where do you go? How do you meet more people in the future? What do you do about, you know, your relationship status after that? And a lot of things like that, that generally surround women a lot more than men.
Yeah, I've seen your interviews online on newspapers and media, generally your videos. I've seen a lot of the interviews you've given. And one thing that I really admire is how you have managed to normalize divorce. That is such a huge, big thing. I think that step itself makes a difference on people's lives. I'm sure even those who haven't reached out to you or spoken to you have already had a difference made in their lives because you've normalized the whole idea of divorce. And I know this, you also had an awesome divorce party. Like, that's like the master of normalizing it. So tell me about your divorce party.
Yeah. First of all, thank you so much. That's so sweet of you to tell me that, because this is exactly what I have been working for as well. I think the reason why I wanted to normalize divorce is because I think that the stigma around it is ridiculous. I mean, we've reached a point where, you know, India has a divorce rate of 1%, which means that out of every 1,000 marriages, less than 13 end up in a divorce. And when I say that, I don't mean to say that I am promoting divorce in any way. But we do know, you know, even if you think about it, all of us will know at least one or two couples that do not need to be together. But they are together because of kids, because of family, because of some kind of pressure, because of like, oh my God, where do I go after this kind of thing? And that's purely because of how society has made us feel. And it's ridiculous because everybody has breakups at all points of time when they fall in love. But it's just that when you get married, it feels like everybody is involved in your life. And if you are unhappy, or if you're going through some kind of abuse, or if the reason is as simple as I just don't want to be in this marriage, you should be able to get out of it when you have the option of getting out of it, right? It's very unfair that we are made to feel so ashamed and as if, you know, that's it, like this is the end of your life, and, you know, people look at you like you're not worth anything you have achieved just because you got a divorce. And that's extremely unfair on anybody.
Yeah, like you said, divorce should not just, it shouldn't become your identity and it take over everything else in your life. Yeah. But the beauty is that you have even owned that, like in the sense of you have made people feel that it can be their identity and they have owned it, and it's actually an amazing thing that could happen to you. You've given it such a nice, hopeful, positive spin. You've shed light on the good parts of it. And that's what I feel, you know, is going to take this whole movement that you've started forward way, way ahead. So yeah, tell us about the divorce party.
Yeah, my girlfriends had thrown me an incredibly amazing bachelorette party before I was going to get married. And I think it was one of those nights which none of us will ever forget. Ever since I decided to get a divorce, from then to like literally the last day of court, I think some people have been with me through every single day of that. And I feel like they lived through the trauma with me. They lived through those bad times with me. And so when it was ending, I just wanted to, as a very small way of saying thank you to all of them, I decided that, you know, I'm going to throw a divorce shower. I don't even know if anybody in India has even done that before, because the second somebody gets divorced, that they are taught to like just brush it under the carpet, like, oh my God, don't talk about it, don't tell anybody about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm going to tell the world about it, because why not? Everybody, the world knew about my wedding. Let the world also know that it did not last.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, your wedding was huge because you were one of the first all vegan weddings to happen. It was such a big deal and everybody knew about it. It was covered in the media. It was shared around in the vegan circles and everything. So it's really good that instead of just brushing it off or just like not talking about it, you flipped the whole thing around like, oh, guess what? My divorce also is going to be talked about like as an awesome thing, you know, which is true, which is what all of us were cheering for you. And you know, all those little stories that you were posting of your divorce party, you were like, oh my God, I wish I was there too. How awesome, you know.
Truly, then if I don't put something as big as this out, because then I'm defined by that wedding. Wherever I go, I will be asked about it.
Yeah.
So I would rather be like, okay, this happened in my life. I have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. I have nothing to be embarrassed about.
Yeah.
It's just an event in my life that happened. That's it. So I think that was also one of the main reasons, you know, I wanted to throw a divorce party was first of all to say thank you to my friends. And another thing was that since, you know, they literally lived through those bad times with me, I just feel like so much of that trauma was also translated to a few of them, you know, who were constantly listening to me talk about it and, you know, just be involved in the process, etc., etc.
Mm.
I felt like it was like a good way for all of us to just kind of like blow off some steam and just let it out of us. So one of the things we did, just wrote out any negative feeling we had and tore it up, it was seed paper. Mm. So we tore it up and we put it into just the soil and, you know, they're now becoming plants.
Oh, how lovely. That's such a positive way of transforming the energy, you know, something that's unwanted and useless in your life, turning into something positive and good in the world. That's such a beautiful thought.
Yeah, and it felt like closure, like, you know, this is out of our system and, you know, we're not going to be talking about this again. That's it. We're done. So we're celebrating a new beginning. Everything's going to be different and we're going to be happy and good things are going to happen. So it was almost like, you know, it was literally a new life.
That's beautiful. And I can imagine, like, you know, how much your friends would have also gone through, because when you really care about somebody you love and, you know, see them go through something like this, it's not very easy. And it's so nice they were there for you. But again, you know, it's so you that even at the end of the divorce, in your celebration, you thought of your friends and you thought of giving them closure. Like, that's such a sweet thing to do and sweet way to go about it, Shadu. I'm sure while you were going through the divorce process, it must have taken quite some time because I know courts and there are a lot of processes and whatnot. So while you're going through that, I can imagine you would have been quite drained each time you had to either talk to somebody about it or even pretend that, okay, everything is fine. Or if you had to go to court and come back, like the whole process, you know, I think it took up at least 2 years for you for it to be done.
About a year.
So how did you deal with that? Like at the end of the day or throughout that year, how did you recover? What things did you do to uplift yourself?
Yeah, so I think the reason why a divorce can really take a toll on a lot of people is because we are constantly reliving what went wrong, what happened in our life over and over and over again. You know, whether it is talking to lawyers about it, whether it is standing in court and, you know, talking about it, talking to the counselor about it, writing it, putting it down on paper because that's the divorce document, etc., etc., etc. It's just a continuous ongoing process. And it just, after a point, feels like you're just stagnating in one incident or one particular phase of your life and you can't really move forward because you're reliving the past over and over again. So for me, that was one of the hardest things, and because of that, I think I had a lot of psychosomatic pain where, you know, I had physical pain. My stress was having very, very different effects on my body, where I would have a lot of body pain, my back would hurt suddenly, I would be sitting and I wouldn't be able to like get up. Because your body is in so much exhaustion, your mind is in so much exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I don't think I had a grip of myself, but then I realized that, you know, it's not worth taking for it to take a toll on my health or what I need to be doing in my life. So I started having a few coping mechanisms to help me, and I'm not saying they used to help all the time, but they did make a very big difference.
Mm-hmm.
To me, one of the main things I did was video journaling, and I saw it on a TV show actually, and I decided to give it a try to just be like, what is the big deal around journaling? And then I realized that video journaling actually helped me like so much, in the sense that, you know, you just turn on a camera, you just sit in front of it and you just open up and just talk.
Okay.
It does not matter what I say. Nobody's ever going to hear it. It's not to be sent to anybody. It's not even for me to see again. I can just delete it almost immediately. But it has such a calming effect because you just feel like you've just like vented out something.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say whatever because there's nobody to judge you on the other side of the conversation.
True.
This is talking to yourself. Anything that, you know, I wanted to say, I would say it on a video journaling thing. And I think other than that, I would just try to, you know, I would have phases where I would have, I just wouldn't be able to sleep, and then phases where I just wouldn't be able to wake up.
Mm.
So I tried to work out a lot.
Okay.
Because it was something that really helped me relieve a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And it would also make me tired. So then my mind also used to get tired and sleep.
Oh, yeah. I remember, I think we met like maybe 6 months, 4, 5, 6 months after the process of divorce had started. And you had like this super hot bod.
Exercise was, you know, it was for my body, but more so it was for my mind.
Mm.
Because I just wanted to, and it would make me feel calm. And on days where I would feel like angry, or I would feel any kind of negative emotion that I wanted to get rid of, I would just work out.
Okay.
And for me, I think I'm a little more of like a hyper person. So for me, anything fast, anything that keeps me on my toes is something I really enjoy. So it was really, really helpful for me to do that. And it helped me let out a lot of steam.
Okay. So one was video journaling, and then the other thing was working out.
Working out.
And then what else? Was there anything else that you did? In a moment, like in one moment when you're at home and you're kind of feeling low, or if you're out somewhere where you're not able to journal or do the workout, was there any practice you do in that moment to just like flip things, or at least, you know, feel calmer?
Yeah, I think I relied a lot on food.
Okay. It's a good thing you're vegan.
Yeah. You know, there would be days where I would crave junk.
Mm.
Because, you know, you generally when you're sad or when you're upset, you tend to crave something, right?
Yeah.
But usually I don't give in to so much temptation for junk and things like that, because, you know, I don't want to. Yeah, I have that much self-control. But like when this happened and, you know, I didn't feel the best of my spirits for, say, sometimes days, sometimes weeks together.
Mm.
And if I crave for something, I would just eat it. Vegan, of course, but like I would just eat it. If I crave for fries, or if I crave for a Maggi, or if I really wanted ice cream that day, I would just give in. I wouldn't be hard on myself.
Yeah.
And I think just cutting myself that slack itself helped me a lot.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I was like, okay, somebody is being compassionate to me, and that's me being compassionate to myself, but that still feels nice. And I'm not putting any restrictions on myself. So like you said, if I'm out and this thing. And another thing I really did was anytime I wanted to cry, I just cried.
Oh, yeah. The power of crying is, it's so cathartic, actually. It's like so good.
It is. And it's so like, you know, we underestimate how much it helps.
Yeah.
I remember there are days where I have sat on Marine Drive and cried. I have cried, you know, in Uber rides. I have cried in randomest of places. I cried on a bus in Singapore. I've done so much of that where at any point of time, if I feel overwhelmed or emotional and I really want to cry, I didn't stop myself. I was just like, I'm just gonna let it out. I don't.
Yeah, it's good. It's good because that actually truly, like, the tears are washing all those emotions out, you know. So it's so good that instead of being conscious about where you are or controlling yourself, you just allowed yourself to be you.
When you don't cry when you have to, that itself starts to get frustrating. Oh, yeah. Because then you're still feeling like, okay, I really want to cry, but I cannot cry. You know, I'm in this place or public place or with people. Or whatever.
Yeah, it adds to the frustration. True.
There were days where I would get really upset about, you know, very small, unreasonable things and, you know, things like that.
I don't know why crying is associated with weakness, because to be actually able to do it wherever, when you feel it and express that emotion, that is a lot of strength in that too. So to just allow your emotions, acknowledge them for what they are, allowing them to come out, that's really, really powerful, strong thing to do.
True. I think it was one of my court dates, and I was extremely anxious for like a week or so before I was going to go back over there. And I remember the night before that particular court date, my best friend sent me ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a tub of ice cream. Literally, that's it. along with a really sweet letter, and I just started weeping. Like, it's not even crying. I just started weeping. So, you know, sometimes it's as small as something like that, that could just like
trigger.
Yeah, trigger. So, yeah, like now when I think back, I can't even, I don't even know why or like what happened at that point of time, but I just know what it felt like. And I was like, that was valid. And
yeah, I'm sure it is like just feeling that love and support. And I know that your best friend isn't even living in the same city as you are. So yeah, the fact that she's living so far away and then she manages to send this across to you, and on the day when she knows you need it, that kind of love can definitely trigger a lot of emotion. It's just beautiful. Is there anything else you'd like to share, Shadu, about going through a divorce or a breakup, or generally, you know, losing something, losing someone, anything at all, and then coming out of it?
Sure. What I mainly want to say to a lot of people, and I will say this particularly with respect to divorce, I think one of the most overrated things that a lot of people put pressure on themselves is family. And I don't mean to say this with disrespect to anybody, but, you know, having spoken to the number of especially women that I have spoken to, I know for sure that a lot of people do not go ahead with the divorce because their mother or father says no. And they continue being stuck in abusive relationships, in terrible, terrible marriages. So I met a lot of people through the support group, through this entire community, who, you know, actually made me realize that if you have family support, it's a privilege. But if you don't, it's not a hindrance. Whoever it is that can be of support to you. And that is why having support groups like this is so important, because it does not matter if it's a stranger you met on the internet, whether it's your friend from school or college or your neighbor or an extended family person. As long as you have one or two people, just go for it. Because I think eventually people adjust to your decision. People come around. People understand when they see you happy, when they see you thriving. So, you know, to just let it be your decision more than, you know, letting somebody else be the judge of it. Somebody else to sit and dictate how you need to live your life. So I think that is something that's extremely important. And I know this can be very subjective. This will vary like case to case, person to person, parent to parent. But I just want to say that, you know, if at all anybody is going through this particular phase in their lives, it's not at all bad to reach out to someone to ask for support. So just asking for help and just being cognizant of what needs to be done itself will help.
Yeah, I think, see, the thing is, in many cases, people are even afraid to ask for support or reach out to someone, wondering what somebody will say, right? That is why your kind of a support group helps, because first of all, most of the people are perfect strangers. So you don't have to hesitate to say something or worry about what they'll think of you. And then the bonus is that actually they relate to what you say, and then they are there for you. So that just is so good. How many support groups have you had so far? Like, I know you're doing a lot of support online and on the phone and stuff, but physical support groups, so far, how many have you done?
So we've done a couple until now. And then there was one in Delhi, and I was traveling there for some other work, and it ended up, you know, over there. And I intend to do this in other cities as well. The last couple of months has been a break because of the, you know, different developments in the country, which has just been like a lot of focus has been shifted for, in general, you know, for everybody. And it's been difficult to kind of refocus and come back to this. But this month onwards, it will be back on track. So I hope to have at least one or two a month.
When you do these support groups, how do you feel? Like, what is the energy that you personally experience out of it?
I think the energy is so powerful. It almost takes me a day or two to unwind from it. Because I think there is so much power in credibility, so much power in stories of people who have lived through this. And then, you know, are on the other side of it to come and tell us that possible to get out of it. And then we also derive so much hope looking at other people's lives. And you know, no matter how much we hear it from other people saying, no, it's okay, it's not a big deal, you're gonna be okay, when you hear a person who's also been through a divorce come and tell you that, that's entirely different kind of belief you will have in that, because you see their life, you see that there is so much, it's so empowering to know that, okay, if they can do it, maybe I can do it too. So that was the main thing. Like, I remember one of the support groups, there was a little girl as young as 21 years old who was going through a divorce. And the oldest person over there was, I think, 58, 59. It just varied across. Like, there was no age barrier or anything like that for women to stand up and say, I have taken control of my life and I have taken the onus. And this is how I'm going to live life on my own terms. So that's an extremely empowering feeling. So I came back feeling so positive. And, you know, I just, like, after the first support group, I just couldn't wait for the next. I was just like, I just want to meet these people again and just like talk about this all day long. And even though we're all in a room and, you know, we're all meeting each other for the first ever time, we don't know who the other person is even. But it just took a matter of minutes to just kind of settle in. And then it just felt like friends sitting and talking together. And, you know, we felt like, have I known you for the last few years of my life? You know, that kind of feeling.
It's so nice that it's not just people who are newly divorced or just going through it who have come to the group, but also, like you said, people who've come out of the other end and gone ahead with their lives and leading happy, joyous, wonderful lives, coming there and lending support to everybody. That, I think, speaks a lot about how powerful the group must be. So that makes me very happy to see this.
That's very true. It's not just the age or the number of people who are there, but the journeys. And in most cases, there was just something very, very similar, like strikingly similar between so many stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how the vibe was. And everybody walked out, you know, everybody hugged each other, they took down numbers, promised to keep in touch. And that's how we felt. It almost felt like a family.
That's wonderful. You know, I really admire you for even coming up with this idea of doing the support group. I'm sure there have been other support groups, but the way you're doing it is in a very positive, public way. So making it okay for people to reach out and come forward, that's really good. Otherwise, see, all these people who've finished with the divorce years ago and going ahead into their lives and coming here to support the others and share, even they hadn't thought of this kind of a support group idea, but you did. And that's really, really brilliant. I'm not at all surprised. You're like full of awesome ideas all the time. So just to let the listeners know, we were very lucky to have Shaswati as a part of Carrots for 1 month. She interned with us and then went back and started Kavati. And we really, like, it was so awesome to have her as a part of the team. And
last month of
The only wish is that, you know, we could have had her like permanently in Bangalore with us. But yeah, what to do? Being in different cities is not easy. Shadu, I'm so proud. You know, I'm so proud to see the way everything, whatever life is throwing at you, the good, the bad, the challenging, whatever it is. I love the way you take things, turn things around and just turn it into something full of hope and positive energy. I can't say enough good things about that.
Oh, thank you so much. It means a lot to me. And, you know, it's not that easy at all on so many days. But I think, you know, the kind of love and support that I get from this, from the community that, you know, is just building online, and my friends and like so many people like you who I love so much. You know, just say these encouraging words and just like motivate me, and it just makes me want to do more.
Oh, great. I'm just looking forward to everything else you do. And I know this divorce support group and this whole thing is going places, and you are going to create ripples and create amazing impact on a lot of people's lives. So, and I'm looking forward to watching that and seeing you grow, Shadu.
Thank you so much. What will I do without you?
Thank you so much for being on the podcast, and I'm sure it's going to be a very encouraging episode for a lot of people. And yes, I know it's specific to your divorce, but I think a lot of people who are going through other things too will come away feeling very, very inspired after listening to you talk.
Thank you so much for having me on your wonderful show.
So tell everybody how they can connect with you.
Okay, so anybody listening to this and looking for support or just wanting to know more about it, and I think I will say this pretty openly, that you do not have to be divorced to understand that divorce is normal. Mm-hmm. You could just be just a regular person, and I just think it's important to educate ourselves with this so that, you know, if you see that stigma happening to someone else somewhere else, you'll be at least able to tell them that, hey, no, it's not a big deal. It's okay for you to do this. So I think the audience for this is not just people who are going through a divorce, but in general. So at any point of time, I think I'm on Instagram at Shashwati.
Yeah, so can you spell that out for everyone? Instagram at
S-H-A-S-V-A-T-H-I.
Shashwati. And of course, if you're in India and you'd like to get your hands on some scrumptious vegan cheese, then check out Kawati, which is Shadow's brand. Can you spell that out also for people?
Kowvathi. So it's at www.kawati.com. You could be anywhere in India and order cheese.
Cool. And I'm going to put all these links in the show notes, so it's easily available for all of you to click and connect with Shadow. And if you have any questions, you'd like to share how you felt after listening to this episode, please write in and let us know. You can connect with Shadu and let her know, or connect with me on Instagram at Veganosaurus, and share your thoughts, share how you felt and how this episode has helped you all. Okay, signing off for now. So bye, Shadu.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Feel Good Factor. I'm Susmita Veganosaurus, and I'll be back next Tuesday. Talk to you soon. Bye.